I am especially grateful to be amongst all of you today. My special thanks to Ajay, Swati, and Urvi for inviting me to participate in this very wonderful event. We have just seen the performance of a yajna. It is important to understand the meaning of yajna. Krishna tells in Gita, yajna shishta shanashyanto muchyante sarakvakilbashai bunjate tetvakam papa ye pachantyatmakaranat. Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, at the beginning of creation, I have created men, women, I have created the devatas, and I have also created yajna, or sacrifice, and have proclaimed, be thou happy by performing this sacrifice, for it will provide all things to you. Krishna also explains what sacrifice means. Third chapter of Gita. Yajyaratha kamanon yatra lokumam karma bandara taratham karma kontiya mukta sanga samachara. That work must be done as a sacrifice in the service of God. Otherwise, whatever work we do will simply bind one by the ropes of karma. So our work is our sacrifice. Our thoughts are our sacrifice. Our words are our sacrifice. And our happiness and the invocation of all auspicious and desirable things takes place when our work, our words, and our thoughts are offered as a sacrifice in harmony with the will of God. Today, actually, Krishna tells in Gita, yat karosi yat ashnashi yat johoshi tatasi yat yat tapasi sikonti yat tat kurushama darapana. That whatever you do, whatever you offer and give away, whatever charity you perform, whatever austerities or anything that is done should be done as an offering for the service and the pleasure of God. Atapumbir vichastrestas varana shrama vibhagasha svanushtatasya dharmasya samsidir haritoshana. Whatever our occupation may be, whatever our status in society may be, our success, our perfection is that whatever we do is pleasing to the Lord. That is sacrifice. The yajna is especially performed according to the ancient Vedic rituals. And there are different effects that take place in a yajna. When they're chanting these mantras and they're offering particular oblations and there is paraphernalia that is of an auspicious nature, what it is meant to do from a karmic point of view is infuse the atmosphere with auspiciousness. There are three modes of material nature: tamaguna, rajaguna, and sattvaguna. Ignorance, passion, and goodness. Through the karmakanda yajna, what we're doing is we're actually infusing, surcharging the entire atmosphere with the mode of goodness, which removes obstacles and cleanses the environment. Just like if you have radio waves, with a particular radio wave, you could chant the name of God, or with a particular radio wave, you can also surcharge the atmosphere with cinema love songs. It has a different effect. So what are we surcharging the atmosphere with? In Yajna, we're surcharging the atmosphere with auspiciousness. But when it is done in a spirit of samsidhir haditoshanam, to please the Lord, of devotion to the Lord, then it not only creates a completely auspicious environment and removes obstacles, but it invokes and attracts the blessings of God, which is really the ultimate purpose of these sacrifices. To invoke the presence of God's blessings upon us, to help us to cross over all temptations and all obstacles. On the subject of obstacles, today, as Ajay has so nicely explained, is the auspicious occasion of Dasera. Dasera is the day where good is victorious over evil. Light victorious over darkness. Knowledge victorious over ignorance. It is a day of victory. It is the day, according to the Ramayana, that Sri Ramchandra defeated Ravana after a long combative conflict between the two. Sita is the goddess of fortune. She was born of the earth. Therefore, all the fortune of the earth is represented in Sita. And all that fortune was meant in the loving service of Ram. In that sense, to live in harmony with this principle, whatever Sita provides, the goddess of fortune, within this earth, should be done in harmony with the will of the Creator. Then there is Ravana, who represents envy, who wanted to steal Sita, not only Sita, but he exploited so much gold from all over the planet to create Lanka. He wasn't satisfied with that. He conquered massive armies. He conquered devatas. He wasn't satisfied with that. Ultimately, he wanted Ram's consort, the goddess of fortune, herself. Ravana represents this mentality that is within almost all of us. That mentality of greed, envy, and exploitation. To work for our own purpose without considering the needs of others and the will of God. The word Ravana literally translates as one who makes others cry in distress. For his own purposes, he did not mind offending, torturing, killing anyone. That is the materialistic mentality in its ultimate state, Ravana. The battle between Ram and Ravana, which took place in Sri Lanka, was something very great. Sri Ram cut off the heads of Ravana and cut off the arms of Ravana, but every time he cut them off, they kept coming back and coming back and coming back. That is the nature of kama. That is the nature of selfish, egoistic passion. However many times we try to conquer it, it just keeps growing its ugly head again within our minds. Ultimately, Lord Ramchandra took the arrow given to him by Agastya Muni, the blessings of a great sage, and he shot it right in the heart of Ravana. And Ravana fell from his chariot onto the ground. And the whole world celebrated. That great disease to the whole earth planet, like a cancerous disease, Ravana, who caused so much pain to the body of human society. The world was liberated of him. Today, we're opening this research center to alleviate disease. Ravana was the supreme disease. And with the help of Ram, if we can just invoke the blessings and the presence and the mercy of Ram, we can alleviate so many people from crying by alleviating so much of the disease of this world. There are three types of disease. Disease of the body, disease of the mind, and disease of the soul. Disease of the body, we know all about those. And the whole medical industry is trying to deal with those diseases to alleviate pain and suffering. And psychology and psychiatry and other such sciences are trying to deal with alleviating the diseases of the mind, the emotional system within humans. And there is also the disease of the heart, the disease of ignorance. People have forgotten who they are. What is their purpose of life? What is their relationship with one another? What is their relationship with nature? And what is the relationship with God? And this disease can cause suffering despite having very healthy body and very, very strong mind. The spiritual sciences are meant to ultimately cure this disease. The Bhagavad Gita describes Najayate mriyate vakatache nayambutva bhavata vanabhuya ajonitya shashvato yanpurano nahanyate hanyamane sarire. That the conscious force within every living being is spiritual by nature. It is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Nahanyate hanyamane sarire. Even when the body dies, that soul remains as it is. Dehinosmin yatha dehe komaram yuvanam chara. Yatha dehe tatha. Krishna tells in Gita that as a child grows into youth, old age, and ultimately death, in the same way the soul is passing through the various transformations of life. And at the time of death, what happens to the soul? According to our activities and our desires in life, we have a particular state of consciousness, and the soul is transmigrated accordingly to one of the 8,400,000 species of life within our creation, according to the Vedas. So we are part of God. Mamaivam so jivaloke jivabhuta shanatana. The nature of the soul is to love God. The nature of the soul is to be an instrument of God's compassion in everything we do in life. To be in harmony with God means to live according to God's laws in the spirit of an instrument of His compassion in everything we do, everything we say, and ultimately everything we think. Dasera represents that day of enlightenment. Dasera represents the day where, with the help of Ram, we can restore our own lives in his eternal loving service. And what is the greatest service we can do? What is the greatest way we can show love for God within this world? As we have said, and as we will emphasize, to be instruments of Krishna or God's compassion in everything we do. After all, Ravana was very learned. He was extremely scholarly. He had tremendous physical power. He had tremendous wealth. In fact, when Hanuman first saw Ravana, when he was disguised in Lanka, Hanumanji was thinking, if only he had morality, if only he had devotion, he would be the greatest man on earth. He had everything. He was coming from a very high family of Brahmins, sages, wealth, strength, knowledge. But he used it all in ignorance. He used it all for his own selfish, egoistic purposes. Bhagavad Gita says that kama, or lust, is like fire. The more you feed it, the hungrier it gets. You can't satisfy fire by putting fuel in it. That was Ravana. No matter how much power he had, no matter how much fame and prestige he had, he couldn't get enough. Even his own wife, Mandodari, she said, along with Vibhishan, his brother, you already have conquered the demigods. You're already unparalleled in your strength and your fame. You have so much incredible wealth like nobody else. Be satisfied. Just give Sita back to Ram. Otherwise, he's going to come and destroy you. But he couldn't. Ravana represents this dilemma that as long as we have selfish desires, no matter how much wealth, how much prestige, power, influence, never be satisfied. The fire can only grow and burn hotter. And in that fire, we can cause so much distress and problems to so many other people's lives. But by the power of Sri Ram, that Ravana influence within our own hearts can also be destroyed. That is liberation. And that is the essence of the meaning of Dasera. In all of our work, we should be like Hanuman on the side of Sri Ram. In fact, Hanuman was medically a very, very astute person. You know this story. He lifted the entire mountain from Himalayas, the Gandhamadana mountain, and brought it back. And that healing herb was the Surasena, I believe, was the name of the doctor of the Kanaras. And he said, you have to get this particular herb. Only this could heal Lakshman. Because Lakshman was laying on the ground. He was terminally ill. He had the javelin of Ravana that pierced his chest. He wasn't breathing. There was no symptoms of life. But Hanuman, to make sure he brought the right herb, he brought the whole mountain. So here was a person who had tremendous strength and tremendous energy, and he used it in the service of Ram, in compassion to others. And Ravana, he had the same type of strength and the same type of powers, but he used it for his own egoistic purpose. So Dasera is a glorious day. It is a day of invoking the Lord's presence. And therefore, it is said that anything begun on this auspicious day is blessed by the Lord's will if it is done with the proper consciousness and the proper motivation. And it will be successful. But Krishna explains in Gita what is success. Success is not necessarily what the material eyes and what the newspapers and societies tell us. Success is that we're using whatever we have for the right purpose, in harmony with the compassion of God. That itself is our success. Today, Swati Devi also is very much inspired by the presiding deity of Saraswati Devi, Saraswati Puja. The goddess Saraswati presides over knowledge in all of the arts, such as music, dance, drama, poetry. Education. There's a story regarding Saraswati that I'd like to very briefly narrate. There was a devotee of Saraswati who pleased her so much. His name was Keshav Kashmiri. She gave him such powers that every time he opened his mouth, she controlled his tongue. Therefore, he could speak with such incredible wisdom. He can cite any scripture. He had undefeatable logic. And guess what happened? He became uncontrollably proud. Queen Kunti, she prayed, Janmaishwaraya Shruti Shubhya Edamana Madapuman, that wealth, knowledge, strength, high birth, these material qualifications, actually they're beauty, knowledge, strength, high birth and fame. These qualifications can be the greatest disqualifications for our spiritual lives because they have the tendency to make us proud. And when we become proud, we think, I am the doer. Gita says, Prakrite kriyamane niguna karmani saravasha ahankara vimudatma. That means that the bewildered soul thinks themselves to be the doer of the activities. Actually, we're all empowered by nature. Mayadhyakshena prakriti, and God is the controller of nature. In America, we say, do not be proud of borrowed plumes. Everything we have is a gift of God, and He can take it away at any time. Why should we be proud? We should be humble instruments of God's compassion with whatever God gives us. That is real civilization. That is real culture. So Keshav Kashmiri had incredible. He became Digvijay Pandit. He traveled all over the length and breadth of India, challenged people to debates, and defeated everyone soundly. And soon, wherever he went, he was in processions, riding on elephants with Brahmins chanting slokas and musicians playing instruments and thousands of people coming along with him. His entourage. He came to Navadvip. At that time, Lord Chaitanya, who was avatar of Krishna in this age of Kali, was living. And he disguised himself at that time. He didn't reveal his supreme opulences. He was playing the role of a young boy who was a teacher of grammar. So Keshav Kashmiri happened to be walking along the bank of Ganges, and he sees this little boy, very beautiful, just teaching grammar so nicely. He's surrounded by some students. And little Nimai, which was Lord Chaitanya's name, he said, "Oh, you are the great Keshav Kashmiri. We have heard so much about you." Previously, he told his friends, his students, when they were glorifying him, Lord Chaitanya said that a great person is like a tree. When a tree has good fruits, those good fruits make the tree bow low to everyone. But a tree that doesn't have good fruits stands up high, very proud. So similarly, a person who has good qualities is humble and respectful to all. And a person who may have all kinds of material opulences but does not have real quality of the heart stands very proud. He said to his students, soon this Keshav Kashmiri will, his pride will be cut down like everybody else ultimately is in this world. So Nimai, he addressed Keshav Kashmiri. He said, "Oh, you are such a great poet. We have heard about you. Undefeatable. All the scriptures just rest right on your tongue because you are blessed by Saraswati as her favorite. Please, compose some poetry in glorification of Ganga." Like a whirlwind, he just composed original poetry, 100 stanzas in glorification of Ganges. The students were mesmerized. They had never, this was superhuman. And then little Nimai said, "Now that you have said this very nicely, just like the wind, you composed this poetry. No one else, no human can do this. But now please describe the ornaments and the faults of your poetry." Keshav Kashmiri said, "I am above faults. No man, even the gods, cannot detect faults in what I compose." And little Nimai, who's nothing but a grammar teacher, pointed out faults. And when Keshav Kashmiri tried to reply, he became completely blank. He couldn't even move his tongue. Not a single thought came to his mind. And he just stood there, bewildered. And all of the students started to laugh. And Nimai said, "No, no, don't laugh. Do not embarrass him." And then Nimai said, "Go home, study your books. Tomorrow we'll discuss some more." So he went home and he started worshiping Saraswati Devi. "How is this possible? You gave me the benediction that every time I open my mouth, you're going to speak through me. You're giving me all knowledge. You're giving me all abilities. How is it that a simple little grammar student has defeated me? Have I offended you? Have I done something against you that you have abandoned me?" With this anxiety, he went to sleep. And Saraswati Devi appeared to him. It wasn't a dream. She appeared to him within his heart. And she told him that you should understand that today I have given you my ultimate blessing. Having great knowledge of the scriptures, of logic, of every subject, having the ability to convince others, to defeat others, that's not my real blessing. That's something very superficial that I give to ordinary people. But because you are actually pleasing me, today I led you to meet the Supreme Lord face to face. and be humbled by Him. After all, whatever I have to give you, I have received from the Lord. Go to Him and surrender with humility and be an instrument of His compassion. That is my supreme benediction. There are many educational institutions in the world today. And there are many people who are gaining tremendous power. But it's sorry to say that it's the most educated and powerful people in the world that are causing the biggest problems. It's not the simple field workers that are creating, you know, threats of nuclear war or creating disruption in the whole economy. Like cheating, blundering, and greediness. It's not the simple people that are really creating the ecological problems that the world faces today. It's people with tremendous amount of power. Power comes through knowledge and ability and influence. When power is used in the wrong hands, like Ravana, it can create the greatest problems in the world. When power and all those things that make power, knowledge, strength, prestige, abilities, when those powers are used in the right hands, they can create the greatest healing effect to human society. In today's world, the greatest need is people's hearts to become cleansed of this Ravana-like tendency of greed, lust, envy, anger, pride, and illusion. In the world today, people require to clean their hearts and be instruments of love, instruments of compassion. And then, yes, our educational systems, our scientific research, and everything else will have a very, very deeply healing effect on the world. It can bring real happiness and prosperity. Dasara is the day when individually and collectively we should be praying and striving to utilize whatever we have, whatever knowledge, whatever strength, whatever wealth, whatever influence, whatever abilities that Goddess Saraswati has given us, to use them according to her will as an instrument of love and compassion. That is why we pray. That is why we chant the names of God, to invoke that compassionate spirit of love that is dormant within us. So Keshav Kashmiri became then really the favorite object of Saraswati's blessing. He became humble and compassionate and used what he had in that spirit. Yad yad acharati sthrestas tat tat evetarojana sayat pramanam kurate lokas taranuvartate. Gita tells what great and influential people do will influence so much the world. We have so many people who are big politicians and big businessmen and big scientists and big swamis, but they're causing a mess in this world. Unless their hearts are pure. Because what people in high positions, influential positions do, is they affect people. They're the standard that people want to follow. I'm especially proud to know Ajay and Urvi and Swati and their families, because I know this family very well. And with very much love and respect, I've known Mother Lalita Firimal for many years and seen how her prayers and her actions are always trying to nourish her family with these inner spiritual virtues. They have influence, they have wealth, but what's so wonderful is they want to do something wonderful, something healing in the service of God for humanity. They did not invite us here in the inauguration of their very costly research center for some superficial or ritualistic reason. They want the blessings of God. They want the blessings of sadhus. So that they can do something wonderful in harmony with the will of God. In a spirit of compassion. I was speaking to Ajay a few days ago. And he was telling that really the real interest between him and his wife and sister-in-law for developing this project is not just to make a lot of money. Because in something like this, you're risking everything. But it's to utilize what they have to actually try to make a positive difference in people's lives in this world. To alleviate suffering. To show compassion. Yes, the greatest shortage in this world is not money, it's not rain, it's compassion. Where there is compassion, everything else will follow in a very auspicious way. So today I'm very, very proud of your family. And I wish you all success. That God's blessings shower upon you profusely. Lord Kapila Dev taught the Sankhya philosophy. Sankhya means the very, very deep analytical study of material nature. The original book of research is Sankhya philosophy of Kapila Dev. He describes, you know, just deeper and deeper and deeper aspects of the realities of nature. And relationships between the atomic molecules, gross matter, the mind, the ego, the intelligence, time, and God. And the soul. He describes in such intricate analytical detail how not only how material nature works, but why it works the way it does. It's a very, very powerful, important subject matter. But his conclusion is understanding all of these things, the perfection of all of our knowledge is to learn how to live in perfect harmony with our Creator. To learn how to utilize all of creation in harmony with the Creator. This is yoga. To unite our motivations, our activities, and our words with the will of our very source. I pray that this research center, in your analytical study of various diseases and other forms of misery that people are suffering in this world, that you are blessed by the Lord. Blessed by the Lord to actually be real instruments of His love, of His compassion. I thank You very much. And I pray that everybody here who is assembled also prays for the Lord's blessings for the true success of this wonderful project. Thank You very much.